Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for the day after Resurrection Sunday. It's April 21st in the month of Nisan, Nisan 23. And welcome. Welcome to the Republic. Thank you for joining us. May this time be a time that encourages us, enriches us, and keeps us centered on the heart of Jesus. So let us open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are just thrilled that we get to celebrate you each year in your passion, death, and resurrection, your overcoming of the flesh, overcoming of death, and giving us the door, giving us the way shower, showing us, Lord, that you've overcome the grave, and we too can overcome the grave. But most importantly, you have redeemed us as the sacrificial lamb, the one-time sacrifice for all mankind. We may come into relationship with you, that you've restored the Adamic promise, the promise that you will never leave us and you never forsake us. And Lord, we're just thrilled. We're excited that you've chosen us, and we simply had to say yes. So out of scripture, as you rose from the grave, the angel said to the woman in Matthew 28, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. You know, it's been a very interesting year, at least in my journey over the last couple of weeks. God really put it on my heart to try to connect together the calendars of the Passover and the one-time Passover of Jesus Christ going through the Passion, Death, and Resurrection. And it bothered me that the calendars don't line up. So I started researching it and finding out what's going on. And, you know, what really I find incredulous is that the church fathers, back in the time of Constantine, made every effort to distance the two celebrations, the celebration of Passover and Jesus' ultimate Passover with the Passion, Death, and Resurrection. And, you know, it reflects for me the amount of deception we're under. And I was talking with Bruce and Linda earlier tonight, and we'll talk about it a little bit more when we get to that part of the call. But it's just people who you have great high regard for, we find ourselves in traditions of men, which aren't what God says in his word, but we have made them our custom. And so we don't challenge it, and we don't question it. So there is a custom we are going to do. We have a new gal on the call this evening. Her name is April. So April, if you have your shofar ready, why don't you go ahead and start the call with the shofar?
Keep going.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I will. Numbers 10:9 says, "And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." Hallelujah.
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 When you seek diligently for me, you will find me, says the Lord. It's not a game of hide and seek, for I'm always looking for you and want you to come near to me and receive every benefit that I readily have for you. This is out of the His Kingdom prophecy for today. It's from a June Sheltron Rinke. You cannot find me without finding all the blessings and provisions that I have for you, says the Lord. Do not take anything for granted or just assume, but seek. No one is disappointed in me, for I love to have intimacy with you and created you for friendship, partnership, and fellowship with me. I will not ever be unavailable or too busy for you. Come into my presence where you will find fullness of joy, satisfaction, and enjoy the table that I've set for you. You will be fat and full of my blessings, and you will become a blessing to others with the overflow of my provisions for you, says the Lord. And her prayer is this: thank you, Lord, for planting us as a tree of righteousness in your kingdom that is without end. We will be fruitful in times of drought, and nothing can hinder us because we are fed by your river of life. Our leaves will not wither. The storms of life and the winds of adversity will not topple us. Our roots go down deeply, and we branch forth on the left and right with continual new growth. We will bear fruit of righteousness in season and out of season because you nourish us and because we too prosper in all we do. My friend is had a hearing this morning. He is challenged with some mental challenges, let's just say. So Mark and I went with his wife up to the court, and so the challenge is, you know, he's doing some things. They're not really harmful, but they're mentally, you're like, wait a minute, what'd you do that for? And the court's involved. And we were talking about spiritual healing versus pharmakia. Now, some in his family want to see him go on drugs, and they think that that's going to control the behavior. And Mark and his wife for years have been students of John G. Lake. And so there's another whole perception of what healing can be. So I want to read you also from His Kingdom prophecy, a very timely article on the hidden gate, pharmakia and the deception of false peace. And then I'm going to open up the call to Mark to comment the corollary to it. It's from Sharita Thomas. We're in a time when many are searching for healing, for peace, for mental rest. Many are suffering emotionally because of past hurts and traumas, depressed, even suicidal, and are seeking ways through science to medicate their condition. But what the enemy is offering is a counterfeit solution. Revelations 18:23 says, by your sorceries were all nations deceived. The Greek word here for sorceries is pharmakia. Pharmakia in Strong's at G522 appears in the New Testament three times, in Galatians 5:20, in Revelation 9:21, and in Revelation 18:23. And it's translated as sorcery, witchcraft, or magic arts. The Greek translation of pharmakia, the usage is medication, magic, witchcraft. Roots of words like pharmacy, pharmaceutical, pharmacist. Pharmakia is more than just medicine. It is a spiritual tactic to bypass true healing from the Holy Spirit, to open soul gates through chemical control, to sedate and separate people from their spiritual awareness, to create dependency on the flesh instead of intimacy with God. Depression and mental torment are real, but the solution is not synthetic peace. Many medications used to heal are designed to numb, silence, or alter the soul, not to sanctify it. The enemy is using modern sorcery, disguised as therapy, to keep people bound to emotional cycles, to block the discernment of God's voice, and prevent true deliverance by substituting chemicals for repentance, inner healing, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Pharmakia is not just some potion making, it's the satanic manipulation of substances for control, deception, and spiritual bondage. But there is hope. Jesus still heals. The Holy Spirit still restores. You are not forgotten, and you don't have to surrender your mind to Babylon's system. If you are in torment, the Father says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. He gives real peace, not chemical sedation. He renews the mind, not suppresses it. Let us pray with and for those who are caught in this battle. Let us speak life, healing, and truth. Let the gates of pharmakia be shut and the gates of God's presence be opened, in Jesus' name. She concludes with a prayer. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent for trusting in sorcery, drugs, and manipulation over your spirit. Deliver me from every pharmakia-based bondage in body, mind, and spirit. Cleanse me from substances that are portals of fear, passivity, or demonic oppression. Break every hidden covenant formed through unholy ingestion, injection, or implantation. Remove synthetic markers and restore my temple to divine order. I declare my body is not a testing ground. My mind is not a laboratory. My soul is not for sale. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit, and I renounce the sorceries of Babylon. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Again, her name is Sarita Thomas. You got a sound for me there, Mark? I had no idea the Kingdom Prophecy Calendar would be so synchronous with a topic that we were discussing this morning. And Mark has some really wonderful thoughts in this regard. So, Mark, I'm going to turn the call over to you and have you build on this.
All right. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, so when we were talking about this and the process of healing, we had a twofold conversation. Is one, how do we minister healing to those who are really hurt and dealing with mental issues or trauma or a traumatic event or things like that in their life or serious abuse and everything. And then we were reminded of John G. Lake, how he absolutely with power walked through South Africa through the black or bubonic plague, and how he walked through the fields of dead and dying people, and the doctors at that time were amazed, and they asked him, "You got to be careful." They said, "You got to be careful. You'll catch that." And he said, "No, I won't." And they said, "How are you so sure?" And he said, he wiped foam from a dead man's lips, and he said, "Put it in the microscope, and it was alive." And the doctor said, "You're going to die." And he said, "No." And he picked up the foam, and he said, "Now, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Put it under the microscope now. Romans 8:2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And the doctors found that the plague had died. It was dead. And he was able to do an amazing evangelical and healing ministry in South Africa. He had submitted to the Word of God over years and years and years. And when he had his divine healing technicians, he would send them out. And I studied under John G. Lake in the John G. Lake Ministries 2010, 11, and 12. And John G. Lake would send out his divine healing technicians. He would give them a piece of paper with the name and address of a person who was told that they were going to die. They had only a few days to live, and John G. Lake would say to them, "Here's the address. You have 30 days. Don't come back if he dies." Sounds pretty harsh, but he knew that by spending time daily, hourly time in the Word, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, and by submitting to God's Word and to have loving, compassionate prayer ministers who will spend time with you, crying with you, laughing with you, praying, rebuking the spirits of the evil enemy, it caused massive healing. And we have experienced that in our life, that by spending time with people, mentoring them, loving on them day in and day out, changing them, renewing their mind, you are a child of God and you are healed, that you don't need drugs. What you need is the Word of God, submitting to God's Word and submitting to the fellowship of the saints, of loving people who will love you through your challenges, whether it is depression or anger or frustration or trauma or spirit of something terrible. And so we just celebrate that in Jesus' name, that God's Word is still as powerful today as back then. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have great soldiers like John G. Lake who have gone before us and written books, and people have a ministry now, John G. Lake Ministries. Thank you, Lord, for that. And then the Word of God is, he's no respecter of persons. We can do the same thing that Jesus did, and greater work shall we do, because he went to the Father. And I just thank you for that, and just declare freedom for those who are in bondage, because the Word of God is true. So I thank you, and I thank you for that opportunity to share that. That's all.
You know, as a believer in spirit-filled Christians who walk in signs and wonders, it has, for a long time now, angered me that we, as Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ, defer to the white coats for every ailment we have. And I find it troubling, you know, when we have an issue, instead of first and foremost affirming that Jesus has got this and he's my healer, you know, so many of us come, you know, I'm a prayer minister, so folks come up to the line and say, you know, my doctor says this, and then they'll list a whole litany of these fancy words. So they have spent time under the word of the physician, learning all of these fancy technical terms for what's going wrong with their body. And I find that astounding. It's like, well, if you spent the same amount of time recognizing the promises of Jesus, and you look in the scripture how many times he was moved with compassion, he healed them all. He's no respecter of persons. And why should what happened 2,000 years ago not happen now? And I really think that we're in the third great awakening. I think it's time for the body of Christ to shake and awake, become bold in the promises that God has given us, and to walk them out. In fact, Bruce, I'm going to call you on the phone to share your testimony. You told me today about your mechanic and the journey of that guy. So if you're on the call, go ahead and unmute and tell us the story.
I are on the call.
Here you are.
We had the privilege of having Robert visit with us last year. I guess it was right after the Christmas time. So he stopped through our beautiful little town here. And we had occasion to visit with the mechanic down the street from us at his garage. The fellow was had been diagnosed with prostate cancer and was, you know, having issues and, you know, medication and I guess tiredness, et cetera, and concerned about continuing in his work. And we had opportunity to lay hands on him and pray. Robert prayed.
Let me say, you had opportunity because you took it.
We took opportunity to lay hands on the gentleman and pray. Robert prayed. And I had then opportunity to visit with the mechanic during the winter, this winter. Anyway, I asked and inquired how he was doing at this point, and he said he's doing fine. He looks to be in, you know, good strength and health and continuing on in the work. And anyway, so he was very grateful to, you know, for what the Lord had done in his life, and he is a living testimony that God heals.
And let me also say, his daughter was there and gave Bruce a big hug, so she knew that God had intervened, and she was just grateful for the prayers of the saints.
So that is that.
And well, that happened after the fact, didn't it, Linda? Didn't that happen later when the daughter came up to Bruce and gave him a big hug? Was that months later?
Yeah, that was just about a month or so ago. I had taken one of our vehicles down there to have checked out, and they couldn't find anything wrong with it and so on. And I thanked them, and she gave me a big hug and, you know, so on. No charge, couldn't find anything wrong with it. But anyway, there was a lot of gratitude to the Lord for what God has done.
Well, praise the Lord. So I say this, you know, I didn't know the call was going to go here this evening, but I just want to encourage all of you, if you are contending with health issues or you have family members who are, you have situations that may seem hopeless, I just want to stand in a testimony to say that God does heal today, and he heals through you, and the
Amen.
Words that come out of your mouth and what you declare. And so often the prayer that I hear from Christians is, well, if it's the will of God, then, you know, can I be healed or my friend or loved one be healed? And it is the will of God to heal. Nowhere did I see in the Bible where Jesus went up to the lame man and said, take up your bed and walk. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have a cane for the rest of your life. Or wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam, and you'll only need, corrective reading glasses after that. he heals them completely. And we need to stand on that and be confident that he is faithful to do that which he says he'll do. All right, Bruce, well, I'll keep at you there. Go ahead and share what God's put on your heart. You had another comment you wanted to make about the Easter season. Oh.
Before I give him...
The Easter season? Oh, excuse me.
Before I give him the phone, I would like to say 1 Peter 2:24 says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. He's already done the work, and we need to call forth the manifestation of the victory that he has already provided for us. Glory.
Glory. Absolutely. Done deal.
I have been given the phone. Okay. Let me preface this by Mark was talking about John G. Lake's ministry. Linda and I are ordained through that ministry, through his son-in-law. And having studied the work of the Lord through John G. Lake's ministry, the more a person studies individuals like this who are committed, totally committed to the Word of God and seeing the manifestation of the power of God flow in this day, the more intense an individual you become. And the more difficult we have seen in our situation, at least, how difficult it is for us to fit in any church. And this is not to judge the individuals, but there are different walks an individual may be called to. Some are pioneers, some are cleanup crew. You know, different individuals have different ministries. And, you know, God gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the building up of the body, for the edifying of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And we think, well, if an individual is an anointed individual, say an individual is an apostle or a prophet, we tend to elevate these individuals on a higher platform than us common folk who do not consider ourselves in those roles. And it's very, very disheartening for someone who has committed his life to really seek after the things of God, walk the Word, be obedient to what the Lord has spoken to their hearts, to sit under an individual who is otherwise elevated within the body of Christ and see, God, I can't sit under this person. He's not walking where you would have me to walk. And we had an occasion just yesterday. We were watching various TV ministries, and one of them is considered a very well-respected apostle in the body of Christ in our day. And we have watched him a number of times and have enjoyed the ministry. Well, yesterday, which was the Passover, I don't know that he even mentioned the word Passover. The whole thing was about Easter. And after the church service, he encouraged people to stay because they're having their Easter egg hunt out on the property. And I'm thinking, what? This is a, quote, apostle of God who's having Easter egg hunts. How did the Easter bunny get into the Word of God and the ministry of someone who is supposedly walking in a powerful anointing of the Most High God? And this, then after I turned that off mid-sermon, we switched on Jonathan Kahn, a Messianic rabbi, who many of you probably are familiar with the name, very, very strong on the Passover and the whole thing. And the contrast between the two was remarkable. But, you know, God has different individuals walking in different places, even in a given anointing. So like a prophet, you know, a prophet may, like Julie Green, for example, is a prophetess, and she, everything the Lord gives her basically is dealing with the United States and the work of God in the country and what he's desiring to do and so on. Other prophets are called into different areas and to, you know, as seers or something like that. But to watch this apostle yesterday discussing Easter and Easter egg hunts, I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Our prayer, Linda's and my prayer, has been for years, Lord, keep us in the center of the flow of the Holy Ghost for our lives. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. We want to be in the center of the Holy Ghost, the flow of God in our lives, as you would have us to be. And thinking about that in relation to what we were seeing and distressed over yesterday, you know, I'm thinking, you know, as the river is going down, as moving on by, you can either be in the center of the flow, or you can get caught over in the side in one of these little side eddies. You may know, oh, yes, there is the river, it's flowing, but I'm over here, I'm stuck in this area, and I really have difficulty grasping how an individual who is desiring to walk in the fullness of the power of God, who is elevated as someone, as a fivefold minister of God, is walking in the traditions of the world. And very, very distressing. So that was our day yesterday. Then, I don't know, Robert, if you want to do anything with that, but I've also then, in the last couple of days, the Donald Trump has put out an Easter message, and also King Charles from Great Britain has done the same, and I'd comment on those if this is appropriate time or later, whatever is good for you, Robert.
Let Mark play a shofar to end your other thoughts, and then you can pick that up from there. And Bruce, before you go into what the president has said, I do want to give people a reference to a good understanding of the Easter story. Chuck Missler is a preacher, excellent, excellent stuff. He cuts through the myth. He has, you can find it on YouTube. It's the Easter Story Part 1 and the Easter Story Part 2 by Chuck Missler. That's Missler. He's with Koinonia House. And this will give you the straight scoop on the myth that we have carried. And he's so gracious because he continues to call it the Easter story so he doesn't burn people. You know, sometimes when you tell people the raw truth, that they don't credit you, you know, but he's very good at that. So for anyone who wants to dive deeper to get an articulation of it, Chuck Missler on YouTube is very, very good. So go ahead, Bruce, continue.
Yeah, I was going to say then watching Jonathan Kahn, before I get into the other thing, watching Jonathan Kahn, it was very interesting in contrasting that with the apostle that we had been watching. And I don't know where I was going with that comment, but it'll probably come back to me. The President of the United States, President Donald Trump, put out a proclamation the other day. I don't know whether this was Thursday, Friday, whatever day it was. And I took note of it. And I'll read this to you. Now, this is a very worldly New Yorker, President Trump, coming out with this message. And if you think of this in relation to what the former resident of the White House last year came out with, Gay or Transgender Visibility Day, that was what was celebrated on what would otherwise be Resurrection Day. But President Trump came out with this proclamation for 2025. It says, "This Holy Week, Melania and I join in prayer with Christians celebrating the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, who conquered death, freed us from sin, and unlocked the gates of heaven for all of humanity. beginning with Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and culminating in the Paschal Triduum, which begins on Holy Thursday with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, followed by Good Friday, and reaching its pinnacle on the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night. This week is a time of reflection for Christians to memorialize Jesus' crucifixion and to prepare their hearts, minds, and souls for his miraculous resurrection from the dead. During this sacred week, we acknowledge that the glory of Easter Sunday cannot come without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ made on the cross. In his final hours on earth, Christ willingly endured excruciating pain, torture, and execution on the cross out of a deep and abiding love for all his creation. Through his suffering, we have redemption. Through his death, we are forgiven of our sins. Through his resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. On Easter morning, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and light prevails over darkness, signaling that death does not have the final word. This Holy Week, my administration renews its promise to defend the Christian faith in our schools, military, workplaces, hospitals, and halls of government. We will never waver in safeguarding the right to religious liberty, upholding the dignity of life, and protecting God in our public square. And I thought, my goodness, he goes on to say here, as we focus on Christ's redeeming sacrifice, we look to his love, humility, and obedience, even in life's most difficult and uncertain moments. This week, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation. We pray that America will remain a beacon of faith, hope, and freedom for the entire world. And we pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, the beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven. May God bless you and your family during this special time of year, and may he continue to bless the United States of America. I'm thinking, wow, that is powerful. Who wrote it? I don't know who wrote it, but he said it, and the fact that he proclaimed this over the airwaves, he's putting the word out, that was powerful. Now, in contrast to this, we have King Charles of Great Britain, who on Thursday, addressing his nation, said, "On Maundy Thursday, Jesus knelt and washed the feet of many of those who would abandon him. His humble action was a token of his love that knew no bounds or boundaries and is central to Christian belief. The love he showed when he walked the earth reflected the Jewish ethic of caring for the stranger and those in need, a deep human instinct echoed in Islam and other religious traditions and in the hearts of all who seek the good of others." End of quote. Wow. The contrast between the two, and you wonder why Great Britain is going down the tubes spiritually and all of Europe. My goodness. Contrast between the two. And, you know, again, just looking at these, looking at President Trump's, he's given us a focus, what our focus should be. He said he's for religious liberty. That's for the Jew, the Gentile, the, you know, this, that, or the other. It does not matter. This specific day was Resurrection Day, and the focus is on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's praying for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the nation. I'm thinking, glory be to God. Be it so, Father. We agree with him. Amen, amen. That's all I've got, Robert.
My friend sent me some links to President Trump's Holy Week, ones on YouTube, link that is President Trump Holy Week. The next one is a YouTube link to President Trump Address the Country Easter Holy Week. The next one is President Trump Hosts a Good Friday White House Dinner. The next one is President Trump Establishes a Faith Office Task Force. And finally, the President Trump Establishes an Anti-Semitism Task Force. And I think the you asked who wrote it, I think he now has Paul of White is his, oh, maybe somebody can
understand. Spiritual advisor, yes.
No, she's some, more than a spiritual advisor, it's some task force or something that she is heading up for him. But it's really clean. I mean, it's so refreshing to see that coming out of the White House rather than gay pride flags. And the White House lit up with, you know, an incomplete rainbow. Very good, Bruce. That's awesome stuff. I tell you, we are in exciting times. I don't know how many of you on the call are either practicing Catholics or recovering Catholics or was been Catholics, but this morning, Pope Francis died at 88 years old, and there's also an article in the His Kingdom Prophecy about that. You know, I think before I read it, I kind of like to get open the call and have some different comments from you about what your sense is of the passing of the Catholic pontiff. And what that means, what either it means to you or what you sense it means to Christendom, given the fact that Catholicism, thank you, Mark, so given the fact that Catholicism does carry the banner of Christ. So anyone wants to make a comment, just unmute yourself, say your name, and say what's on your heart.
April, judgment begins in the house of God, and we know little g God too.
Wow. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Are you a Catholic? Were you a Catholic? Do you have any connection to the Catholic Church?
No. Well, indirectly. My first marriage, I was married to a Catholic, but, you know, we really didn't attend. My second husband is an ex-Catholic, but he goes to church with me at Heritage Assembly of God. So, you know, we're good. Except he needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but he will be baptized with that soon, hopefully.
Well, I want you to know there's hope. I was I was sprinkled as a Catholic. I was raised in parochial schools from first grade to high school. I went to, I had Catholic brothers and Catholic sisters in my training, both Jesuits and Christian brothers. And I don't know, the sisters of whatever they were, they would click you with their little clicker and but I say all that to say that, oh, I was such a devout Catholic, believing that the Catholic way was the way, and that's how you get to the Lord. And, you know, I knew about Jesus. I was very pious towards Jesus, but I didn't know. I didn't have a relationship with him. So, and yet there are Catholics.
I meant with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He doesn't have that gift yet, but he will.
Oh, your husband? Okay. Well,
yes. But he does have visions and stuff, so that's good.
Very good. Thank you, April. Thank you for joining the call. Mm-hmm. I see your Zane. You've got some sound coming out of your line. Go ahead.
Chaplain Robert, while we're waiting, this is Katie. I just got home, but it says 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And then you would go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 12. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord Yahweh and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believed, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you, Katie. How are you seeing that reflecting in the passing of Pope Francis?
I just see him as a, well, black pope. Yeah, black pope. Yeah. So I see him as not, as the Lord took him out. You know, one of those prayers that we take is that when people are doing some really evil things, that God would grant them repentance and then, if not, take them out. It's one of those, I call it, I think they call it imprecatory psalms or imprecatory prayers. So that's what I see.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else want to make a comment about the Pope's passing? All right. So then, Mark, I'll have you mute everyone again. All right, so in the His Kingdom Prophecy website, there are entrance, chronological entrances of writings from different prophets from around the world. Today, Veronica West wrote the following with regards to Pope Francis. Pope Francis dies at 88 years of age on Easter Monday. Just few prophetic insights God shows me concerning the timing and age of the Pope. So I posted a few days ago the prophetic significance of the next 50 days, Passover to Pentecost, a 50-day window of time. It's highly significant that the Pope dies aged 88 on Easter Monday. What's highly significant to note and its importance? The Pope dies at 88 and 8 months from his 89th birthday. That's 88/8. Furthermore, he died on the 21st. That's 3/7, which equals 21. Also, 88, new beginnings, expressed twice. We know the number 88 is symbolic with new beginnings, new life, resurrection, and restoration. 88 also symbolizes revival and freedom. It speaks to divine turnarounds and redemption, a redeeming of the times and the seasons. Now, as I was reading the breaking news, I suddenly saw in the realm of the spirit a threshold, and I heard, "Watch for nations have now crossed the threshold. From the beginning of sorrows has surely begun." As I heard those words, the Holy Spirit quickened me to Matthew 24 in the King James Version. "All these are the beginning of sorrows," Matthew 24:8. Another translation says, "All these events are the beginning of labor pains." Please read the whole Matthew 24. It's a powerful prophetic timeline for which we will begin to see taking place with greater acceleration and intensity as we navigate the next 50 days and beyond, from Passover to Passover, 5785 to 5790. Matthew 24:8. Here also we see 3 8s and then another 8. So it's a double-double. Matthew 24:8 clearly speaks of the beginning of sorrows. The Greek word for sorrows is odinon, is linked to labor or birth pains. I submit during the next 50-day window of time, it will signal the start of greater and more significant and tumultuous times unfolding in the nations. Before I go to the next section here, I want to tell you that a friend of ours, Katie's friend, Adriana, was in hospital and had challenges with her pregnancy. And they gave her the all clear. We all had Easter resurrection lunch together. And she was doing really good. She says, yeah, I've only got 7 more weeks to go. And I said, can I feel the baby? She goes, yeah. So I felt the baby. And then the baby was born this morning at like 2 o'clock or something like that this morning. So this whole significance of labor pains, this child was accelerated 7 weeks early to be born exactly on this 8-8-8-8. So it's a new beginnings, new life, resurrection, restoration. So the passing of the old guard and this nonsense with the Pope of Pope Francis and this new life, Elijah, I believe, is his name. So I just thought that was a really timely new birth that we received into our community. She goes on in her article now. She says, significant signs. It's highly significant that the Pope met with U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance just hours before his death on Easter Sunday. I submit, given the prophetic timeline and the window of time happening within the 50 days, the Great Eagle Nation visits the Pope just hours before his death. A sign? J.D. Vance visits Pope on the 20th of April. That's 20, which equals 10 times 2. 20 symbolizes a period of waiting, expectation, a time of completion, and divine order. 20 also is linked to redemption and the waiting for God's deliverance. 20 is also symbolic of a boundary between two periods of time or situations, a sign that the nation of America has crossed over a threshold into new beginnings, but also that into the beginnings of labor pains, also a sign that nations have entered into a second exodus. Just the symbolism of this is really exciting. A word of the great eagle nation, quote, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my command, my covenant, then you shall be a special possession to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. That's out of Exodus 19, verses 4 to 6. This specific 50-day window of time is critical, as it will lead us beyond and into the next 5 years, which will be marked by a series of profound and intense challenges, including new wars, the rise of greater famines, the rise of new and ancient pestilences and even plagues, far greater and stronger earthquakes that will bring devastation and destruction, and sudden volcanic eruptions that will literally shift, rearrange, and change the boundary lines of nations. I submit the death of the Pope, age 88, on Easter Monday, declares powerfully the birthing of a new kingdom dispensation in the earth, the birthing of a new wineskin and an outpouring of a new wine. But it also heralds the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of greater labor pains. Therefore, we will begin to see and experience birth pains in a greater way. We can expect them to intensify and increase in frequency as the Lord's second coming draws nearer by the day. There's no doubt that we are living in a crucial and critical time. We are in a Kairos time. That call for the rise of the 11th hour prophets to begin to prophesy to the body, to decree divine alignment and order, to prophesy to the true identity and destiny of the body, and to nations in the valley of decision. It's the Kairos time that calls for a new breed of warrior, watchman to arrive, clothed and mantled with the royal garments of priesthood. I hear the words, watch and pray, for the new breed of Zechariah 3 royal high priest shall arise in the midst of the beginning of sorrows. Yes, in the days of the beginning of labor pains, I say watch, as my Zechariah 3 warriors, watchmen arise, clothed in purity and humility, and they call upon me, and I will answer them, and show them great and mighty things which they do not know. Which takes me perfectly into a transition of one of our Republic members, Zane Lawhorn. He's out of West Virginia. I believe, Zane, you are a senator. He is organizing a 3-day of prayer, repentance, prayer, and testimonies of thanksgiving. So, Mark, if you'd like to sound another shofar, and then Zane, you come on the call and tell us what you're doing and what you've prepared. Zane, you have the floor, brother.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. I want to praise the Lord for just giving me this opportunity to speak to you tonight. you know, the foundation of our great nation and this republic has always been the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we can all agree on that. So when God writes a message across the sky, we should take notice. And the United States has had 3 solar eclipses in a 7-year period from 2017 to 2024. Now, if you take those paths of those 3 eclipses, they form a giant A. A, of course, is the first letter of the alphabet, the Aleph or the Alpha. Any 2 of those eclipse paths form an X, the Tav, which is Omega. And not only does the path send us a proclamation, but the first eclipse crosses a town called Alpha. The last one crossed a town called Omega. And the other one crossed a town called Ephraim, Utah.
Oh.
Jesus is the first and the last. And God wrote that across the very skies of America. And we're in the war to end all wars, because the greatest spiritual battle the world has ever seen is taking place leading up to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're in a battle for the very soul of our nation, brothers and sisters. And it's not just us, but God's people in Canada, Mexico, and all around the world. But God sent us the message to share with the world. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, and this American Republic is God's Republic. And so this 3-day event is more than just a prayer event. It is the beginning of our declaration of dependence on God Almighty, proclaiming to the world that we will be the first nation to fulfill Revelation 11:15. We're living in the time of the final great awakening, and the Republic must be the very core of this revival. Restoration must begin with a turning back to the Creator, for this is a Christian nation. This is God's nation. His handwriting across our sky proves that. and the restoration of our republic government will be the greatest national comeback in history, besides, of course, the rebirth of Israel. Our republic must be reborn, just as individuals must be reborn, born again, to accept Jesus Christ. And so America must be reborn again as well. And, of course, as many as you know, America is found in the Bible, and our destination is about to be fulfilled. So for the republic to be successful in being restored, our first goal is to declare our dependence on the master of the universe. In order to do that, I believe we must turn America back to God with a public show of humble repentance, faithful prayer, and praise with thanksgiving. Like Jesus telling us that we must be born again. Nations, too, must be born again. And Israel already was reborn in 1948. And now we here share in the joy and the blessing of being part of the rebirth of the American Republic for all mankind. And it's not just for us. It's for all God's people. And so the Republic was reborn in 2010 and has been relentlessly attacked ever since. So God led me to create a three-day event that I call America Turns Back to God, a three-day jubilee for the resurrection of our God-given republic. And it can be found at www.americaturnsback.org. And if you go to the website, there's a 30-second commercial that I've been using that begins with a shofar, just as you've used here tonight on this prayer call. And this event is scheduled for April the 30th, May the 1st, which is National Day of Prayer, and May 2nd. The event begins on April 30th, which is a very prominent date in our history. And the scripture focus for that day is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Three significant events occurred on April 30th that changed the course of our nation. And the first president, George Washington, was inaugurated on April 30th, declaring his dependency on God Almighty. The second one occurred in 1863 during the war between the states, and four events occurred just after that changed the course of the war. Just a few days after Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a National Day of Prayer and Fasting on April the 30th, 1863, General Lee lost his greatest general, Stonewall Jackson, just within a few days. In June, my state, West Virginia, broke away from Virginia and joined the Union. Then 2 months later, the South would lose battles at Gettysburg and Vicksburg just within days of each other, effectively ending any chance of victory for the Confederacy. And the third time happened during the Ronald Reagan era, when a day of national prayer focused on 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the American hostage crisis, which was in Iran, was terminated and our American hostages was released. So I propose that we use the date this year to change the course of our country once more. And repentance is the first step, as both Jesus and John the Baptist preached in the message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. April 30th is to be a day of repentance for the republic. May 1st is the National Day of Prayer, using their scripture of Romans 15:13, which says that our hope is in the Lord. And the nation will lift up specific concerns like the government corruption or abortion, gender confusion, President Trump. But we also lift up the resurrection of the republic. Then the third day, May 2nd, so ask the question, do you believe God answers prayers? And the third day is an important day period in the Bible, because a three-day period have major significances in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Moses waited till the third day before he ascended the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And of course, we just celebrated the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, who rose on the third day. Good things happen on the third day in the Bible. We just have to believe. And scriptures like Mark 11, verses 22 through 24, Matthew 21, verse 22, and Matthew 7, verse 7, all tell us to believe what we ask for will be given. So we must believe that God will resurrect the republic government and continue to believe that in his divine plan for America to be his republic and the first nation to enter his kingdom. So I'm asking for you to visit the website, sign up as a prayer warrior for America, and together we can turn America back to God. For this event is just the beginning for America and the world. Our prayers will continue until the republic is restored and our land is completely healed. This is just the beginning. It's not just a three-day event. It's the beginning of a turning back to God. And I invite anyone who's willing to share an audio or written prayer, and it will be added to the website. So thank you for this time. May God bless the American Republic, and I hope that you will visit AmericaTurnsBack.org and sign up as a prayer warrior today.
So, thanks, Zane, brother. I got a couple of questions for you.
All right.
Are you planning to have a prayer call on the evenings on those three days to vocalize people to come to a common location?
Well, that would be great. I don't know that I would be the person that could do that very well, but if we could set something up like that, I would be more than happy to participate, that's for sure.
Well, we could certainly use the Republic prayer call dial-in info and number, and that could certainly happen. I don't know whether I will be available in those times, so I'd have to ask Mark if he'd be willing to help you run the board on it, and we could do a tag team on it if that was, you know, if you wanted to do something like that.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
It might be a way just to vocalize some of your you know, your thoughts you've got here.
Well, you know, we have some pastors that's going to put some audio on there, but you know, we need more content, of course. And
invite them to come on and each one take a slot of time to give their thoughts and prayers about something, open it up for, you know, general prayer or intercession or however they feel led to do it.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
The second thing I wanted to say was you talked about the Republic and you referred it to Revelation 11:15. So I'm going to read it, and then if you would like to respond to that. Revelation 11:15 is seven trumpet, the kingdom proclaimed. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. How do you see that connecting to the work we're doing in the Republic?
I see that connected because I see this country being a critical component of God's divine plan to initiate the kingdoms of this world to become part of his holy kingdom. And I believe that as Americans, our goal should be to make the United States of America the first kingdom or the first nation of this world to become part of God's kingdom. And, you know, that should be our holy goal, in my opinion, and that's something that I've been working towards, and I think we should all, as believers, have that as a goal as well.
Amen. So would you give folks the address again of the website?
Yes, it's www.americaturnsback.org.
Okay, and Become a Prayer Warrior is very easy. Just click on Become a Prayer Warrior and put in your first name and your last initial. And then what do they do? Poke around the website to see what you've got happening? How does that kind of work from there?
Yes. Well, there's quite a bit of resources on there. Some of it comes from the Republic for the United States website. The presidential proclamation is on there because as a senator, I introduced this early in this year in the Senate back before we had a split. And it was well received and approved by the Senate, and we sent it up to President Geiger, and he did a proclamation for the event, and it's there on the website. There's just some other information there. I've got some information on there about, you know, America being found in the Bible, and some information on that, and of course the solar eclipses information. And just lots of other things like that. And, of course, there's going to be some prayers and everything else on there as well.
All right. I'd like to conclude by praying for the event. And if you would reach out to me by phone maybe tomorrow or something, and we can talk about the – if you want to do something about a call on those nights.
Okay. That'd be great.
Okay. Close it in prayer. Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to close?
Well, I want you to close this whole thing. I want you to pray over the event, pray over it, and declare what you are believing for.
Okay. Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, you wrote across the skies of America a message for all believers in our country to wake up and get involved in this republic, as well as just the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we just praise you and give you all honor and glory and thank you for the great things that you've done for our nation. We just ask that you would bless this nation and turn it back to you in holiness and righteousness and repentance of our sins, Lord, that we may become that first nation of your great kingdom. And I pray that you will bless everyone on this call, that they would be have a fire in their heart for revival of this nation, that they would join this event, include maybe a prayer, encourage their pastors and members of their congregations and family and friends to visit the website and continue to pray for our nation until God hears our prayers and heals our land. And I pray of it all in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. What you got for us, Mark? For those of you who are new to the call, we take communion together each week. So if you would like to take the time to get some elements, bread or cracker or matzah or some juice or wine, I'm going to ask Mark to select a pre-communion song to just ponder what God's doing in your heart. You know, one thing that I would invite you to consider is healing. If you have something going on in your body or the life of just something's going on that's not right, one of the ingredients to healing is having a willing and a surrendered heart to die to yourself, die to your ego, die to your sense of resistance to how God is moving in your life. And I would just encourage us as we come before the Lord, as we look at, examine our heart, that be something that we do in this season. You know, we're grateful that Jesus has given his life, paid the price, overcome death, and resurrection we have enjoyed here this last day. But I'd like you to think about it in a personal way, that as we now take communion together, which is his body and blood, which is symbolic of that, that you examine where you're at. And if there's some area that you aren't having breakthrough and you are desiring breakthrough, just cast those cares upon the Lord and see what he speaks to your heart now through this time of meditation and preparation.
Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Endured the cross, despising the shame, he now sits at the right hand of God. Keep looking unto Jesus, keep looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus.
Captivated by Luke's retelling of the Last Supper. You know, and the more I learn about the Passover versus the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus, it just becomes richer for me. Maybe it's true for you. Maybe you've already thought about it long and hard. But for me, there was a plot to kill Jesus at the same time as we're in the Passover season. And so there's this feast of unleavened bread. So the whole thing, as they prepare for the feast and for Passover, they get a lamb, and then they watch the lamb. And they watch the lamb for 4 days to make sure that the lamb is pure and spotless and unblemished. And I think about that in our own lives. Do we have an offering? Do we come as an offering before the Lord unblemished? Do we give the Lord our best? Or do we give the Lord scraps? You know, is it an afterthought? Or do we give our first fruits? Do we give the very best of what we've got? Are we willing to lay down our life and say, you know, Lord, more than worrying about all of my material needs and wants, I want to give you the best first. And I'm going to trust you to pour out into my life as a result of giving you my very best and my purest offering. So they do that, you know. So Jesus instructs Peter and John and says, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. It's become a custom now in the Jewish tradition, in the Hebraic tradition, that what was commanded at the time of Passover, that they would go through and sacrifice the unblemished lamb and then sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and then cook the lamb, roast it over fire, not boil it, cook it, don't break any of the bones, and do it like they're in a hurry, you know, just as they were at the time when they fled Egypt. And that whole season of unleavened bread, this is the first year I've ever done that. I decided that I wanted to. And leaven in Scripture refers to sin. So it was pretty cool for me to choose to not partake of anything that was, I mean, I like bread, to remove all bread out of the house, not to do pancakes, not to use baking soda or baking powder in any cooking. And, 7 days, it was kind of fun. I just kind of enjoyed the choosing to do that. I didn't have to do it. It's an Old Testament ritual. I didn't have to do it. I wanted to do it. And it helped me just reflect on, you know, what things I could say no to because I wanted to focus on that relationship with Jesus. And so as we come before the Lord, he says, I've been looking forward to this time, disciples. I've been looking forward to us getting together here for this supper. I know I'm going to suffer. After this, I'm going to suffer. You have no clue. But I'm looking forward to this time. We can fellowship together. We can be intimate. You can know my heart. I can know yours. We can enjoy this meal together, this Passover meal together. And so with that knowing, he took the bread. And he broke it, and he says, this is my body. It's broken for you. As we heard Katie say earlier, or maybe we heard it was Linda, I forget. I think it was you, Linda. You said, did you say 1 Peter 2:24? I think that's what you told us, 1 Peter 2:24. And by your stripes we were healed. And the stripes meant that your body was broken. Your flesh was torn. You took up the cross and stumbled and picked it up again and stumbled. And you just poured out all of your life that we might be healed. So as we take the body, we're remembering that this communion together is your broken body willingly given up for us. The devil had no idea that you would lay down your body willingly and take it up again. He thought he had you. He thought he had you cornered in death. And you said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me shall live. So we take the body together, thankful that Jesus poured out his all that we may have life. I can imagine they were all sitting around the table laughing and joking and elbowing each other. And John was leaning on Jesus' chest. And they were just enjoying the time together. And yet amongst them was one who would betray Jesus. He didn't let that stop him. He took up the cup and he lifted it up. He raised it up. He blessed it. He said, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table. And surely the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. But he asked us to do this in remembrance of him. And the cup is for the forgiveness of sins. It's for the forgiveness of sins. Boy, I bet you he had a lot of forgiving to do for Judas. And we get to come to him as we drink of the cup, drink of the juice, to recognize that we have to say yes. We just have to say yes to Jesus. And by his blood, we are washed clean. He forgets our sins as far as the east is from the west. He invites us into relationship with himself. So as we take the cup, take the juice, we remember that he's poured out his all, that we have life. He's forgiven us of what we've done in the past, and he invites us into a daily relationship and communion with him as he shows us what it's like to walk in the kingdom of heaven. So go ahead and partake of the juice. All right. Kirk Wheeler, I haven't seen you on a call for a long time, brother. What's on your heart this evening? Go ahead and unmute yourself, or Mark can unmute you. Here you go.
I was having had a very lovely Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and sunrise service. Yesterday, it was very good. I sing in the choir, so we get up early. Got up for sunrise and sang, and then we had breakfast. The youth group puts on a breakfast, and then we have our 10 o'clock service, and then we come home. I like prayers for my mother, who is 93, and she is in hospice care up in Traverse City, Michigan. She's lived a great life, but she just needs prayers right now, I believe.
Does she know Jesus?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Oh, good.
She most certainly does.
What are you believing for her? If she's in hospice, that's telling me that she's getting ready to meet Jesus.
Is she at peace? She is. Yes, she is at peace. Her body is just failing. She has a hard time walking, getting up, stumbles and falls a lot.
I know when my mom got ready to leave, she waited. She had relationships with, I'm one of nine kids, and one of my sisters was out of the country, and she just wanted to make sure that she got to say goodbye to her before she left. Has your mom made her goodbyes to all of your siblings?
She has a younger brother and a younger sister. I think out of six siblings. She really doesn't get a lot of calls anymore. Not that I'm aware of, but. My sister is up there and a niece who are close.
All right. So can I pray for her?
Oh, absolutely.
What is her name?
Shirley Wheeler.
Shirley Wheeler. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, thankful for Kirk's mom, Shirley Wheeler. Thank you for the life that she has lived and the blessing that she's been to Kirk in terms of giving him life, but showing him you. It's clear he's still following you. Lord, we just pray comfort over her, peace, over her balance, and over the stumbling things that are going on in her world. Lord, we just speak grace into Shirley's life in her twilight years. We speak your grace, your comfort, your ease, that her days are numbered like all of us. And we pray that those days are joy-filled, that there's not a struggle, that you just show her your love, your grace, and your mercy as she counts the days before she comes to be with you. Lord, you say that if we love our parents, that we are assured a long life. And it looks like she had a good relationship with her folks because she's living a long life. We just pray blessing and comfort over her. Pray that all those relationships, maybe with her younger brother and sister and anyone else that she has yet to say her final comments to or share with them or share what's on her heart, that she has that opportunity. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Is there anyone else who's got a prayer need? And can I have a volunteer to close us out in a word of prayer?
I'll do a closing prayer if you'd like. This is April.
Look at you, April. You're just a volunteer. You're just a show for your first time on the call. That's beautiful.
Well, I have a prayer request. Our mother is 98, and she'll be 99 August 6th. But she hasn't given her heart to the Lord yet. So, salvation for our mother, Betty. And then her sister, Aunt June, will be 92 in June. So they both need salvation. So I ask for prayer for that.
I'm going to invite Bruce Dietler and Linda to pray for your mom. What's your mom's name?
Betty. She goes by Betty.
Betty. And your aunt?
June.
All right. Bruce and Linda, would you like to take that? Oh, I don't see you on the call anymore. Okay. Wow. Something's happened here. Okay. Very good. How about you, Betsy? Betsy Thomas.
No, I'll do it.
Who's I?
April.
Oh.
April, it's Katie. I can do it too because I have a burden for your mom, Betty, and for your Aunt June. Father, I just lift these women up to you, Father. You know their hearts. You know what they need for salvation. I pray that you would open their eyes and their ears and their hearts to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins, and that is found in a personal relationship with God. And I pray, Father, that you would send workers to them with the message that you know they need to hear, the gospel of Christ, where they are, and they would speak the words that you give them to speak. And these people would be saved, and that April would see the evidence of salvation before they leave this earth for eternity. And we pray that in Jesus' name and for your glory.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Mom's caregiver, Amy, has several discs that are deteriorated in her back, and she was supposed to go for a dye test today, and she's supposed to let us know tomorrow what the doctor says. But Robin and I are praying that, God will heal her back for her so she won't have to have, you know, the screws and the plates and all that stuff. So I'd like a prayer for her also, please.
You pray for Amy and close the call out in prayer. How about that?
Okay. Father, your word says, when two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst of us, Lord. And Father, we, according to your word, cast all thy care upon the Lord, for you care for us, Lord. And Father, we know that you love Amy, Lord, and you have called her to serve my mother. And Lord, I just pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Father, we just bind up these malfunctioning discs in the mighty name of Jesus, this weakness, this brokenness, the deterioration in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind it up, we curse it, the root we cast in the sea. You have no place, Father, in Jesus' name, for it is written that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Lord, Father, your word says that your word shall not return to you void, but it shall accomplish that which you please and prosper the thing which you sent it, Lord. And Father, we know that you're able to do far more abundantly anything we ask or think. Lord, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, according to your word, that we believe your report, Lord. For it is written, surely he hath borne our grace and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten, begotten, afflicted, but who is wounded for our transgressions, who is bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by your stripes, Lord, she is already healed, Lord. 2,000 years ago on the cross when you died with her infirmity, Lord, her weakness, Lord, and with her spine, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Father. We ask you to loose in Jesus' name the healing, resurrect the power of Jesus Christ into her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, including her spine, Lord. The Father, you will restore life to her, Lord, because your word says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. You'll also quicken our mortal bodies, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that when we are weak, you are strong, Lord. And Father, we know that your word says that you are the great physician, Lord. So Father, we're asking you to touch her in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your blood flow through her body, Lord, bringing and restoring life to her, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you died, you were buried, and you rose with healing in her wings for her, Lord. And Father, we know that even the lady said, if I just touch the edge of his garment, which is your tallit, Lord, Father, those borders, Lord, of your garment, Lord, Father, that she shall be healed, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for confirming your word with signs and wonders following, Lord. And Father, we know that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, Lord. And Father, your word says if a believer lays hands on the sick, Father, that they shall recover, Lord. So Father, we give you praise, Lord, for a good report, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that she will not fret, she will not worry, but she will trust you as the great physician, Lord. And Father, we just rejoice, Father, because we know that your word says that all things work out together for good to them who believe God are called according to his purpose, Lord. And Father, we know that it is your desire, Lord. It is your will, Lord, to heal, Lord. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Father, we know that with you, it only takes one spoken word, Lord. Lord, your word says that you sent your ever-living word and healed her, Lord. So, Father, we rejoice, Lord, in your faithfulness and your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us together for unity, Lord, tonight, Lord, to be in agreement, Father, with the truth of the gospel, Lord, that he who the Son sets free is free indeed, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus, Father, over our nation, Lord, and over those in authority over us, Lord, that they know you personally and intimately, Lord. Father, we ask you to close the doors that only you can close in our nation, Lord, and open the doors that only you can open, Lord, that no man can shut, Lord, that this re-inhabited republic, Lord, will stand up, Lord, that we will be the beacon of light that you've called us to be, Lord. Father, your word says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Father, we claim that scripture over our nation, Father, and over the world, Lord. And Father, we know that it is your desire, Lord, that we do greater works than Jesus because you went to the Father, Lord. And you've given us all authority, Lord, in your name, Lord, to seek and to knock and let the doors be open to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we plead the blood of Jesus, Father, over this three-day prayer event, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit has free reign, Lord, that your will be accomplished in those 3 days, Lord. Father, resurrect this nation in the mighty name of Jesus and bring it up out of the ashes, Lord. Turn our ashes into beauty, Lord. Help us put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, Lord. Let us be in one mind and one accord, Lord, for where there's unity, Lord, there's power, Lord. Father, your word says that one casts out 1,000 and 10 casts out 10,000, Lord. Lord, the magnitude of agreement, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, bring it to pass, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, for the return a few years ago, Lord. And, Father, we know that you have a plan and a purpose for this event, Lord. Lord, we ask you to blow the mighty winds of revival from the north, south, east, and west, Lord. Let revival come, Lord. Father, we ask you to send lords of the harvest into your laborers into your harvest, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, because we know that the fields are ripe, Lord. Put in your sickle and reap, Lord. Father, we know that it is your desire, Lord, that our nation turn to you, Lord. And Father, we know that without you, we can do absolutely nothing. So Father, we ask, Lord, for the inheritance of the nations, Lord, because that is your will, Lord. So, Father, let the gospel go forth, Lord, not only in our nation, but from our nation again around the world, because that's why you created us, Lord, that we would be a spirit-filled nation, Lord. And, Lord, let us do greater works than the past, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing salvation, Lord, and deliverance and healing and restoration, Lord. Father, we know that Jesus is the repairer of the breach, a city of streets to dwell in, Lord. And Father, we're asking, Lord, that you remove, Lord, these crooked places and these rough paths, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we know that we can plan our steps, but Lord, it's you, Lord, that direct our path, Lord. And Father, we know that your truth always wins, Lord. Father, we've read the back of the book, Lord, we win. So come, Lord Jesus, come. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise in all things. Thank you, Lord, for confirming your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for restoring our republic, Lord, unto your glory, Lord. Let this nation rise from the ashes, Lord. Let it rise again, Lord, and proclaim liberty, Lord, because your word says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed, Lord. Bring the freedom that's only found, Lord, in the blood, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let us be bold witnesses, Lord. Lord, help us to finish the race as we heard earlier in the song, Lord. Let us finish our race, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise in all things, Lord. Amen and amen.
And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Mark, you want to end the recording and we'll